Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you would like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Ephesians chapter 1, you guys there with me? Put it up there, Emmanuel. We're going to read it together. Chapter 1, starting with verse 15. Word of God says, "For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers." Verse 17, this is what we're going to hit on right here. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him." Can you say amen to the reading of the word? Hallelujah. Listen, I'm going to talk briefly. Leave that verse up for a minute, if you would, please, Emmanuel, that last verse there. I know a lot of people preach on this verse. There's a lot of things. You could dissect Ephesians a billion different ways and not exhaust everything that the book of Ephesians has to say to the church. Amen? There is layer upon layer of wisdom and revelation in Ephesians. It's an amazing book, but I want to hit this verse from a little different angle. I want to challenge us as a church to stretch our faith and see everything that God has for us individually and corporately. Amen? Are you with me? Are you with me? Are we together here? Amen, amen. Here is what I want you to see right here. Paul, you know, Ephesus was a church that was doing pretty well. As you read the book of Ephesians, they were doing pretty good there in Ephesus. Things were going well. They had a lot of gifts going on. They had things were tight there. Corinth had some issues. Amen? Corinth was having some problems. You read 1st and 2nd Corinthians, you're like, I don't know how I would have stayed in that church, right? I might have moved somewhere else, right? And the church in Galatia was having issues as well, all kind of legalism, and all these things were coming in. In Ephesus, things were going good. But Paul was still writing to encourage them that they need to go even deeper. We got to remember as believers that we've never arrived. We've never arrived. Sometimes we can get under the right apostle, the right pastor, the right bishop. We're in the right network, and all of a sudden we think that we've somehow arrived. We get spiritual pride, and we start thinking that maybe we're better than other churches or better than other Christians, or we can start judging people who aren't as deep as we are. If you ever think that, you just let that be a red flag in your heart that it's time to repent. It's time to get humble again. Amen? It's the humble that receive from the Lord. And so Paul is writing to this church that things are going really well. And he writes to them, he says, listen, I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you have a spirit of wisdom and of revelation. Now, I don't know about you, but those of you who are preachers in the room, those of you who are ministers in the room, if someone comes up to you and says, hey, I'm praying that you get a revelation, that's not really a compliment, right? This prayer sounds good. But if someone comes up to you and says, man, I see your ministry there, Mike. This is, what you're doing is great, man. I'm just praying that you have wisdom. Wait a minute. What are you actually saying about me right now? You hear what I'm saying, right? But Paul is praying that you would have a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I want to break down this little phrase right here, and I kind of want to unpack it and show how we can use this type of thing in our life to grow in God. All right? Are you with me? First thing I want you to see is God wants you to have wisdom and revelation. Wisdom and revelation. Now, he's not talking about earthly wisdom, and he's not talking about earthly revelation. He's talking about revelation of God and the wisdom of God. We know that the wisdom of God is not the wisdom of man. Amen? And we know crafty things that men preach are not necessarily the same as the revelation of God. Amen? Are you with me? And it seems that, you know, wisdom and revelation can really be at odds with one another sometimes. In the church, they can kind of have a little battle to see who is more spiritual. Now, you got to understand the difference between the two. Wisdom is what many call the application of knowledge. Right? Wisdom is the application of knowledge. They define it as the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. But I like it just the application of knowledge. Just because you have knowledge, it doesn't mean you know what to do with it. Amen? Knowing what to do with knowledge is wisdom. right? And so if you think of a wise person, you think that they don't get stumped a lot. They have things worked out. They have systems for things. You can go to them and they're not confused a lot, right? You with me here? Now, revelation is the act of a stirring disclosure, right? So God discloses some new information to you in its revelation, right? Are you with me now? So when he gives something new, you might think that you're the first person who ever heard it on the planet, right? Because to you, it's fresh revelation, right? This disclosure happens in your heart. When someone gets saved, what that says is that they have come into the knowledge of God. Because before them, they did not know God. But once we know him, we love him, and we're converted. People who are rejecting God don't know him. That's why they're rejecting him. It's not possible to know him and reject him. Is there anybody on stage I can preach to? It's not possible, drum set, to know him and to, it's not possible. When people know the real God, they can't reject him. It's not possible. They can know your religion. They can know your understanding of God, but they haven't met him. Why? It's important for us to introduce them to God, not to religion. Are you with me? The religious people were so proud of themselves. Jesus said, oh, you want religion? I got religion for you. Here's pure and perfect religion. Go visit some people that you look down on and bless them. Why would he say that? He's like, go humble yourself. That's how you get grace. Get out of your own way. Stop thinking so awesome about yourself, right? So this revelation is what seems like new facts coming from heaven. Are you with me? So we, in the 50s and the 60s, and maybe a little earlier, but around there, we really had a wave of prophetic ministry come into the earth. And this prophetic ministry really grew in the 70s. And it seemed like these prophets knew stuff that nobody else knew. And it's like God sent somebody to represent heaven. And so they started growing in power and fame, and people started treating them like Old Testament prophets, where they spoke for God. Now, because people are frail and we got issues, people will allow other people to exalt them. Jesus didn't even allow people to exalt him while he was still in his earthly ministry. They came to get around him, and he would dip out. He would dip out. The only exaltation that Jesus received was on the cross. It's the only time he allowed man to lift him up in his earthly ministry. That's it. You want to be lifted up? Awesome. Get nailed to a cross. Die to self, and that's how you grow in the kingdom. Are you with me? See, now what you just experienced is revelation. You see what I'm saying, right? Okay, so what do we do with that revelation? Well, early prophetic ministry said, oh, here's what you do. You keep coming to me for more revelation. That is revelation without wisdom, right? Wisdom says, listen, we got somebody who has revelation. Here's what we do. We get that revelation and we test it. And we get in the Bible. And we listen to what God has been speaking to us. And we see how it all fits in. And we go the totality of what God is speaking to the church. And we see how all this fits in. And then we act accordingly. Are you with me? Now, sometimes when these wise people are in charge, let me do a side note here. Can someone make sure the air is still on? You just texted them? Excellent. We had some air conditioning issues earlier. Please forgive me for interrupting. Now, when you have these wise people running things, sometimes they feel like they're so wise, they no longer need revelation. Because the system works, why break it? Why do something new if what we're doing already works? And we don't need this new stuff. We don't need to look at anything new. We don't need to go there. We got this all worked out. And all of a sudden, they get all prideful. And what you have is a system where if you haven't been around here 90 years, we don't care what you have to say. Are you with me? So Paul says, listen, you need wisdom and revelation. He's like, and I can see getting this letter being like, pick one or the other, Paul. I mean, which is it? Just tell us who to follow. And nothing in Scripture is that simple. Jesus is Lord. Everything after that gets complicated, right? Like, it's just, right? Salvation is simple. But nothing else is really cut and dry, right? You get saved, and you're like, wow, I met God. And you're like, yeah, he's a Trinity. What do you mean? right? Like, just, it all gets kind of complicated after that. But Paul, and hear me, I'm going to take a little liberty here for a second. Paul prayed that they would have both. And it's my contention to you that in the wisdom, he was talking about the apostolic. And in the revelation, he was talking about the prophetic, right? And so what we have is, we have the apostolic ministry, like this wisdom, the what God is doing on the earth, like what bringing in this atmosphere of heaven. This is the most important thing, right? But then we have this prophetic that said, you know, the now word of God, the what is God saying now, what's happening now. And they can get an island and they see things. They're looking at the same thing from two completely different lenses, if you will. Right? And if you ever went to like the old 3D movies, you remember where they would give you these glasses and one side was red and one side was blue? And you put them together and you see 3D? But if you close one eye, it's going to look red or blue. Right? And Paul's saying, listen, there's these different lenses that we use, and we got to be using both lenses to see 3D. We got to see both lenses to see 3D. And now, if you're not an apostle or prophet, you're like, yeah, that makes perfect sense. If you're an apostle or prophet, you're like, well, I don't know about that. Because I know what God told me. I don't know what he told you. You see how that gets... Now, let me make it more plain. In every marriage, it takes a husband and a wife who can look at the checkbook and see two entirely different things. Are you with me? Like, honey, I see the paycheck. And one of them says, I see a new couch. And the other one says, I see savings. You know? And like... are we looking at the same thing? Are we looking at the same? Are you looking at the same budget that I'm looking at? Are you looking at the same budget? What are you talking about? You see a couch, right? Clearly, there's no couch in this paycheck. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Unless you're a musician, then there's always instruments in the paycheck. I mean, there's always in the budget. But you hear what I'm saying? Two people who love each other can look at something and it looks entirely different. That doesn't mean we just hang out with people who are just like us because I'm scared I'm going to get hurt by the different. Which is what society is telling us to do. No. What we need to do instead is value the gifts in other people so we can be complete. Parts match, right? Parts fit together. And that's why we need it. I heard a phrase recently that really encapsulated it for me. You know, he says, the apostolic and the prophetic in the church, you know, they're not better than anybody else, but they're the pace setters. They're the pace setters, right? They're telling you the pace of heaven right now, and we're all just got to stay in pace, right? They're not better. They're not ahead, not behind. They're setting the pace. Now, you can be in front of them, the same pace, behind them, same pace, but they're the pace setters we've got to keep up with. Stay in Ephesians, go forward to Ephesians chapter 2, all right? You there with me? Ephesians chapter 2. Now, this is Paul still talking to the church in Ephesus, right? And as we're praying in the air conditioning, he says, starting in verse 19, he says, so you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you're fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fit together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Now, there's a bunch of different ways that the church is described in the New Testament. There's Romans 12, he says that the church is many members of one body. Right? In Revelation, he says the church is the bride of Christ. It says the church is the family of God in 2 Corinthians, right? And so in Hebrews, he says that church is the house of God. Now, in this scripture, he's saying the church is a temple. Think about this. The church is a temple of God built with living stones. Those living stones are us, right? Living stones. And we create something that God dwells within, which is amazing. But we got to build it according to a pattern, right? And so he says, this living building that he's building with living stones, he sets the apostles and prophets as the foundation. Now, I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again, and I want to hit this for a second. Number one, it's apostles and prophets are in the New Testament. It's very difficult to read the Bible and not see them. And just because they have been misrepresented in the church doesn't mean we throw out the title. Doesn't mean we throw out the concept. If the apostles and prophets, excuse me, are the foundation, we better figure out what that is. In the Northeast right now, there is a string of homes. I think there's, I don't know, roughly 4,000 houses that were built by a concrete company who used the wrong rock in the concrete mix. And so the foundation of these homes are wasting away, cracking, and the entire house is falling down. This is in Connecticut. I was reading it in the New York Times. And there's whole neighborhoods that are being destroyed because they did not build the foundation correctly. Now imagine your entire life savings is in your home. Your entire life savings is in your home, and the house starts to crumble. Because we got the wrong foundation. Now, we need to get our foundation set. Now, you can't say, well, he's talking about the New Testament here. Because there were people who wrote the New Testament who were neither apostles nor prophets. Luke. Luke wasn't even a disciple. He just wrote stuff. Come on, hear me. He's talking about people. He's talking about living stones. He's not talking about books. So what does this mean? Let me put some of you at ease. At the end of this message, I'm not going to call anybody an apostle or prophet. We're not going to start using titles. We're not going to get weird. Are you okay with that? We're not going to have a special offering for anybody. We're not going to exalt any man in a golden chair. But what I do want to do is begin to honor people in our hearts who have gifts that we need. Right? Now, he says that the apostles and prophets were the foundation, and that Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. The cornerstone is the first block they lay down, and they set everything else according to where this thing is pointing at. Are you with me? So we have these apostles and prophets that are kind of setting the direction of where things are going, how we're building from here. And if you don't know where the cornerstone is, then it's going to look like a fort that you built in a tree in the backyard with no plans. And every time the wind comes, you're going to wonder if it's going to fall out of the tree. Are you with me? God has a better plan than that. Amen? So we see here in Ephesians chapter 2, what we just read in verse 19, he says, listen, he says, Jesus is the cornerstone in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple. Now, what we have to do with this information is we have to figure, what foundation am I building on? Now, there's a foundation in this building, and you know what? None of us can see it because there's tile on top of it. Now, you can see the lights. You see the signs we put up. You see the good-looking preacher. We don't see the foundation. I need you to hear this. You can't see the foundation. All you can see is the fruit of the foundation. If this foundation was bad, then walls would be crooked. Roof wouldn't stay on. Air wouldn't stay in. Air conditioning, it would just stay hot in here, right? What we have in the church in some areas are the apostles and prophets want to be the speaker, want to be the light show. It's supposed to be a foundation that's building everything else. I mean, I'm just telling you what the Bible says, right? I go in my house and I don't stare at the foundation. I stare at the pictures on the wall. So we see, okay, if these people are foundations, we need to figure out what their ministry is, and we need not exalt people, but we need to honor gifts. Right? The other thing I want you to notice is when you notice the apostles and prophets in your life, the goal here is not to exalt people. The goal here is we don't find somebody that we think may be called to that and give them a title. What you do is you look at who has been a source of wisdom and revelation in your life and begin to honor that. You see, you have a source in your life. Now, I hear Jesus is your source. I get it. But God uses people. And you better figure out who those people are in your life that you draw from. Now, again, holiday weekend, everybody's not here. The majority of people who come on a weekend like this are folks who are like set. right? And so you have a ministry, you have a calling, you have something that you're doing, and you better figure out where your ministry source is. You better figure out who God uses in your life to pour into you, who activates you prophetically, who activates you apostolically, what voices in your life give you vision, make hope explode on the inside of you, make the impossible dream of God seem very real to you. And you need to stay connected to them, even if you disagree about some stuff. Now, the whole teaching here is, listen, there's apostles over here saying wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. There's prophets over here saying we need to run after the now word right now. And there's you in the middle who needs to hear both of them and figure out where the church is being built. And we need some mature apostles and prophets who agree on some stuff. We need people who say, yeah, this is the wise thing to do, but clearly God is saying do this. We better figure out how to do that. We need prophets say, I clearly heard God tell me this, but I honor the gift in this apostle who said it's not now, even though it looks very now to me. It's very difficult for people who say they hear God. But what we find out is we don't all have the complete picture of who God is and what God is doing right now. Are you with me? Let's go forward in the scriptures a little bit now, a little bit more. See, these fivefold ministers that we're going to read about in a second, each brings something to the table of the body of Christ, this living church that God is building. In Ephesians 4, let me read this scripture right here. If you got it, let's go ahead to Ephesians 4. And I'm almost done for those of you who are hungry. We're going to start. Let's start in verse 4. He says, there's one body, one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And we'll skip ahead to verse 11. He says, and he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building of the body of Christ. These people are gifts to the church. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, and then he talks about saints. Every believer is a saint, but some saints are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. They have a gift that they are to the church that you can only get through them. That's offensive to some people because it's possible to abuse that gifting and manipulate people to get prideful, but that's not your problem. We have worship leaders. It's possible for them to get prideful that they're leading worship. What's that mean? We're not going to have worship? No, it means we don't want prideful worship leaders. We have counselors. Counselors can get manipulative. Does that mean we're not going to have counselors because some can get manipulative? No, we just want to make sure people are mature before we make them counselors. Are you with me here? Our life group leaders could turn their lives into little cults, right? Like, so we better not meet in homes because it's not safe. We cannot live our entire lives avoiding anything that's possible that it may not be safe. Otherwise, you sit in your house accomplishing nothing, right? It's going to take a little bit of risk, right? And when people mess up, guess what? You don't break in half. We just say, I'm not doing that anymore, right? And so we give people an opportunity to walk into their gift, right? And so we see here that these fivefold ministry giftings, each person, their gift, since it's so, that's what they're created to do, it's like a lens that they see the world, right? And it's possible that if you're under somebody with one gift, if you're only under one gift, only one gifting is emphasized. And that becomes your whole life. Are you with me? I have a little video. A man named Danny Silk came out with a great little video teaching on this. Let's go ahead and play that. You ready to go full screen there, if you would? Back it up, back it up, back it up. There you go. Back it up all the way to the beginning. All right, can you see that? Okay, play that if you would. Turn the light down if you would.
Now this lens is, you know, these are handed out as gifts here. Here, you who see this way, do what you see and do it with all your might. Do it as unto the Lord. And you, what you see, do Do it as unto the Lord. All of you who are looking through this, do it as unto the Lord. And eventually what you will see is the Lord, not a zebra. And so when the pastor looks through the lens, the pastor sees the Christians. The pastor sees the church. This is the top priority. And everyone who's looking through this lens goes, amen. Amen. This is what matters. Families matter. Marriages matter. Community matters. It matters. This is the most important thing. Say something else about it. Tell them. Write it. Kumbaya. One more time from the top. This is the pastor lens. We're building family. We're building community. The love of God. The love of God. Do we love each other? Because we should. It's the most important thing in the Bible. Don't get that right. You haven't got anything right. Pastors, they're hard to be around. The teachers are pointing our attention to the Word. The Word, people. You still got a problem in your life? It's because you don't know the Word. If you knew the Word, you could apply the Word and it would be over. Done. Bam. Read your Bible. We've got another class coming up because you don't know your Bible yet. So it's the Word. It's the Word. And all attention is put on the Word and emphasize the Word. Come, look through this lens. See it? What do you see? Better see the Word. That's what we're doing here. The evangelists are there. They're like, what are we? Are you kidding me? Are we in this room? Are we really in this room sitting in a chair? What are we doing in here? There goes another carload of people going to hell. You don't care. You don't care. You're just sitting around in here, sitting on your sitter. God didn't say to sit. He said, go. Go. What are we doing in here sitting again? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? So the lens of the evangelist is to see everyone saved, the message of salvation, the blood of Christ, being baptized. And there's the prophetic lens. The prophetic lens turns all our attention on the spirit realm and the activity of the spirit realm, which is more real than the physical seen realm. And so everything means something all day. All day. So everything means something. You laugh. Prophetic people don't just go through their day. There's just something always. And prophetic people don't have this a microwave clock or a digital clock. You don't. That's a portal to heaven. This thing is talking to you all day. Look at that. 12:34. 1, 2, 3, 4. Moment of divine order. We are standing in divine order. That's the second time it happened today. That's the number of witness. This goes on all day. Next time you see one of your prophetic friends, just say, I love you. You got a lot going on, don't you? And then we have the apostolic lens, the people that wake up in the morning expecting heaven to manifest on the earth. I expect it to happen today. I'm looking for the supernatural transformation in a moment to happen today. Shabbat. You got marriage problem? Shabbat. Get back up. You still got it? Shabbat, Shabbat. You stay down there until it's gone. The glory, the presence of God, worship, signs and wonders and miracles. This is why we're here. This is why we're here. 12 steps? Way too long. One step. One step. Bam! Take it. We got a one-step program around here. It shouldn't even take that long. Now, these are gifts. These are gifts. But you can see how those people might not get along. Because all of it goes deep. It all goes so deep. And it goes so deep that you go, it's true, and I'm the only one that knows it. It is my job to get everyone to look through my lens. There's just not enough room. The lenses aren't that big. That's why he handed out a bunch of them. To share. And to love each other, though we see things very different. To honor one another. To allow you to be you around me. You get to be you around me.
That's good, right? Yeah. That's really good. Yeah. Thank you, Danny Silk. Nice guest preacher to have. So I want to finish with this. I want to talk about this for a couple weeks, but the key here is what he said at the end, right? There is no lens big enough for us all to look through it. And it, just to be just honest with you for a second, it pains me when the leader of a congregation is trying to force everybody to see everything through their lens, right? I dare say that you're not all evangelists, but some of you are. And all of us can evangelize. Some of you are evangelists. Not all of you are prophets, but some of you are, but we all can prophesy. Amen? Not everybody here is an apostle, right? Some of you are, but we all can expect God's goodness in our life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? And the key here is, and he used the phrase at the end, we have to live in a place that we're secure enough in our call that it's okay for you to be you around me. I don't feel threatened when you come up to me and tell me, the Lord said we got to do this. And I say, not yet, no. I don't feel threatened, right? And you can't feel threatened when I say, well, not for nothing, I'm leading the meeting and I don't think so. Yeah. Amen. Hey, I got this to minister today. No, we're not doing that today. Why? Because I'm leading the meeting. And I don't feel like that's what we're supposed to do, right? You go to your life group and your life group leader has a different plan than what you brought. And he gets to feel it out, and she gets to feel it out and figure it out. And we get to honor one another's giftings, right? Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
What we're trying to do as a church, what we're trying to do as a movement, right, is to honor one another's gifts, honor one another's callings, honor what you bring to the table and say, man, God brought that here because we need it, not so you can become like me. You, God didn't bring you a spouse so they can be like you. He brought you a spouse because you're missing something.
Amen.
Right? And the parts fit, right? Like parts is parts. You know what I'm saying? You're missing something and he brings a spouse. He's like, you're supposed to bear fruit and you can't do that with the other part, without the other parts. Are you with me? And it takes some bit of getting along for that to work. He speaks to us through nature. Are you hearing me? He speaks to us through nature. And so as a church, as a movement, as a house, as just people who don't want to be jerks, we got to look at how do we honor people who are different than us, but at the same point, we find the source that God has in our life who equips us in an area that we're not gifted. And that's what I want to pray over you today. I want to pray that, number one, those of you who are called to a specific ministry, that you get the right person pouring into your call, that someone is modeling that for you. You don't have to figure it out on your own, right? Number one, amen? Number two, that you are connected to the people who activate you, who honor you, who believe in you, who pour into your gift, who lines up with your spirit. I say this a lot. I have fathers in my life who don't know my name, right? There's people like from Bethel that who we've used their curriculum because we absolutely line up with what God is speaking to them. But there's also fathers who know the intimate parts of my life, who speak into my call, who speak life over me, who believe in me, who we disagree on some significant things, but that's not the point of our relationship. We can both be mature enough to disagree on things and still be friends. Amen? I'm going to hit this one more time. My wife and I disagree on some things, and guess what? Neither one of us are wrong. We're different. And it's okay to be different. It's okay to be different in this house. It's okay to be different here. I don't want to go to a church where everybody's the same, where they're pumping out clones of the senior pastor. You ever been there? You come in, there's pumping out clones of the senior pastor. And you're like, yeah, this feels weird. You know why? Because it is. It's not biblical. Are you with me? Amen. Stan, let's pray. Mike, can you play a little bit for me? I'm just going to have Mike play a little bit. Is that all right? How you doing, Chelsea?
Thank you, honey.
Now, if you want to read more about what Danny Silk has to say on this subject, this book, Culture of Honor, we did an entire Bible, or not a Bible study, a book study on it as small groups one semester. Culture of Honor, read it. We believe 98% of what's in here. We're not going to tell you what the 2% is that we don't. All right? Because there's just so much that's good. Is that okay? Can we say that we honor other churches in this house? Is that okay? That we don't... That's all right, that we honor other ministers. All right, so let's pray a little bit, shall we? Can we do that, Mike? Mike's going to play a little bit. Let's just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, just begin to pray yourself. Father, we just repent of dishonoring the different ones. In your own heart, if God brings somebody to mind that you dishonored because they were different, chances are you didn't understand. You didn't understand them. And Father, we repent now of just not honoring ministries that were just different. They were gifted differently. And right now we're using our mouths to pray. And we're actually making words and we're repenting. Father, you know, one of my greatest discernments that I use is if people mock Benny Hinn. You mock Benny Hinn, that tells me you don't understand the anointing that well. Do I agree with everything in Benny Hinn's life? Who cares? It's none of my business to judge him. God uses him to heal people. And I honor that. Feel like I offended somebody. We're different. Mocking people's bad. I don't know. That's in the Bible. We're just going to honor people. So Father, right now, just pray. Father, we honor the churches in this town that are different than us. We thank you that you're moving all over Boca Raton in your churches. So Father, anytime that we said that they weren't spiritual enough or deep enough or taught enough or evangelistic enough or prophetic enough, we just repent right now, Father. And we ask you to forgive us, and we honor right now in the name of Jesus. We honor those churches. We honor them all. We thank you for the work that they're doing for the kingdom. Now put your hand on your heart. Father, we just ask right now that you would bring those people around us, that it would be obvious to us who these apostles and prophets are in our lives. Lord, we're not asking for any boss. We're not asking for a boss. We're not asking for a daddy, someone to run our life like we're a 4-year-old and they're an adult. We're talking about adult relationships here. But people who it's their life goal to bless the gift in us. Father, we pray that you would make it very clear to us who, that we would stay connected to those. Whatever it takes, we would stay connected to those that activate the gift of God in us. And Lord, we want to walk in the grace to not judge them because they're different. But we will continue to honor the fathers and mothers in our life. That we would deal with our own insecurities that make us scared to be different. Make us scared to walk with people who are different than us. Now let's pray that we would be this to someone else. Amen. Father, we pray that you would bring people into our lives that we can give permission to be different. That we could see the gift of God in them and call it forth to honor it. Father, I pray today, even at life groups, today, that people would feel comfortable sharing what it is that makes their heart burn. They feel comfortable sharing what it is that brings them life. What passion, where their passion lies. I pray that people will feel comfortable sharing where their passion lies. And Father, that you would use it for your glory. Yeah, and last but not least, yeah, you may be here, you may not know Jesus. And that's a problem, because none of this applies to you until you know him. But I got good news. He's going to save people today if you want him to. It's just such a very good thing that he does. So right over here, this intercession banner, which is a fancy word for prayer, we got some people who are walking over there right now. And they would be more than happy to pray with you right now. If you're away from God and you're not sure you're connected to him, or you never were connected to him, you're going to walk right over here and they're going to pray with you. And then next week, you're going to come to our office. You're going to get water baptized. And it's going to be very, very good. Amen? It's going to be very...